This week is Parshas Maaseh, the last sedra really in the Torah. Next week begins Sefer Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy, which is called Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the Torah. But I wanted to talk this week about the time. We're at the end of the month of Tammuz, and we're about to begin the month of Av. Tammuz and Av straddled a period called the 3 weeks, which is a time of trouble and trials and tribulation. The Jewish people, since when the Meraglim came back, the spies came back from the Holy Land, and they turned our hearts against going to inherit the land. Ever since then, it's been a very difficult time. So I came across the Torah in the Beis Yaakov, the son of the Ishbitzer, and it's just really one paragraph, but I've been working on it now for 4 days, and it just keeps on opening up more and more, and there won't be time to really look at everything that he says. But I remember that Shlomo, may he rest in peace, you know, he said one time a Torah. And now I realize he must have been saying this Torah. And it was an explanation of why crabs walk backwards. Why do crabs walk backwards, or at best they walk sideways? Why don't they walk forward? And to understand this, this is the Torah of the Ishbitzer on the 3 weeks, on the month of Tammuz, because the month of Tammuz is the mazel of Sartan. It's the cancer, the crab. And then in Av, we have Leo, we have the lion, the Aryeh. So the most remarkable thing about the crab is that it doesn't walk forwards. It walks backwards, sideways. Why? So I remember Shlomo said a Torah, but I can't remember what he said. And, you know, this is just a warning to anybody who's listening. Make a note when you hear something from a great person. Make a note. I wish I had made notes of all the things I heard from Shlomo. I would have this giant encyclopedia of all the secrets of the Torah, right? At the time, you think to yourself, oh, I'll never forget. And then you forget. So these 2 months of Tammuz and Av, they are the months of Reuven and Shimon. The first 3 months of the year, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, are Yehuda, Sochan, Zvulun, and they represented the camp, which camped on the east side of the tabernacle in the desert, and they were the three tribes that were the vanguard of the Jewish people. And then on the south side, there was an encampment which was under the flag of the tribe of Reuven, and it was Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. On the west side was Ephraim and Asher, Binyamin, and on the north side was Dan, Naphtali, Asher. We've talked at different times, we've talked about the significance. But each of the tribes has a month on which their mazel is the ascendant. So Yehuda is the month of Nisan, Yisachar is the month of Iyar, and Zvulun is the month of Sivan. And then comes the months of Tammuz, Av, and Elul. Tammuz is Reuven, Av is Shimon, and Elul is God. There's a letter, a Hebrew letter, associated with each month, and there's a part of the body that's associated with a month. And Tammuz has the right hand, and Av has the left kidney. And the letters are Ches is Tammuz, and Tes is Av. So there's a lot of stuff that comes from the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah ascribes each month to a mazel, which is a constellation, one of the 12 constellations for each of the Hebrew months, and a part of the body, and so forth. Reuven and Shimon are very interesting in that when Jacob, before he dies at the end of the book of Genesis, he gathers children around him and he tells them, let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. And then he starts to bless the children, but he opens with Reuven, and instead of blessing him, he doesn't bless him. He says, you could have been the greatest because you were my firstborn, you were my first strength, you were my first drop. You were my first, but you know, you're too hasty and you lost it all. Because we know that after the death of Rachel, Reuven went and interfered with his father's bed and sleeping arrangements. Then it comes to Shimon and Levi, and he curses their rage. Because why did he curse their rage? He says, look, you know, when you killed Shechem and the whole city of Shechem, and I didn't like what you did, but when I confronted you, you said, Hakazoyne Achisenu, is our sister going to be treated like a prostitute? So I said to myself, you know what, okay, you're young guys and you get het up and you're a bit passionate about protecting your sister's reputation and stuff like that, so I said nothing. But then you sold Yosef. You sold Joseph into Egypt, who Joseph is the one who is most careful about his sexuality. So like, how could you have done such a thing? Because if you could see him, how holy he was, the fact that you couldn't see how holy he was meant that sexuality isn't your thing. So when you killed Shechem, it was just rage. So he curses their rage. Now, Reuven, he doesn't curse and he doesn't bless. At the end of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu blesses Reuven, Yechi Reuven v'al yomus. Reuven live and not die, v'yemsov mispon, and even if he's small in number, that number is going to really count. So why did Jacob not bless Reuven and Moshe blesses Reuven? Because, as we learned in last week's Sedra, it said, "Umikne Rav hoy libnei Reuven elibnei God," and there was the sons of the tribe of Reuven and God had a lot of cattle, a lot of sheep, and they asked Moshe. They said, "Please, as a favor, would you let us settle here in Transjordan, outside what is the land of Canaan, and we'll take, instead of taking a portion in the land, we'll take our portion here." And Moshe got angry. He said, you're starting the whole business all over again. I mean, we've 40 years we've wandered in the wilderness because your brothers, they said, you know, they turned our hearts away from going into the land. So they said, no, we don't mean that. We're quite happy to enter the land together with the other tribes and fight with them, but eventually when the fighting is over, we'd like to come back here and settle here. And Moshe agreed. You see, what Reuven was doing, he had interfered with his father's bed. And his father had said, you know, I don't know how you're going to fix this. I can't bless you so long as this is hanging over you. But you know, Jacob and Moses, Yaakov and Moshe, they're just inside and outside of the same genius. They're both called Shemesh. They're both called the sun. They're both Tiferes. They're both amazing, right? Yaakov is the outside and Moshe is the inside. Reuven, he says to Moshe, he says, Tata, I don't want you to sleep on your own. Because everybody knew that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into the land. So he's going to be buried outside the land. So Reuven says, Moshe, I don't want to go into the land. I want you to make your bed in my house. And so he fixes the fact that he's ruined or messed with the bed of Yaakov, because the truth is that Yaakov wanted to have another child after the death of Rachel, a 13th tribe. And that would have been the fixing of everything, because Menashe and Ephraim would have been born as a single person, and that would have been a tremendous leap forward, a whole evolutionary leap of the Jewish people. Anyway, it never happened because Yaakov Avinu never slept with anyone again in his life. He never had sex again after Reuven moved his bed for many, many years that he lived, but it never happened after that. So here, Reuven fixes. You know, Reuven is very special on the breastplate that the Kohen, the high priest, had a breastplate with 12 stones, precious stones in it. And on each one was the name of one of the tribes. But the first stone actually had written on it, Avram Yitzhak Yaakov Reuven. Because Reuven, in a sense, he's the older brother. And he's the one we call Daddy after Yaakov passed away. He's the one who's known as Av. And when Hoshea, you know, Hoshea is known as the first, the father of the prophets who tell the Yidden to do teshuvah. And the Gemara says that it was because God says to Hoshea, Bonecho Chotu, your children have sinned. You know, so Hoshea, who descends from the tribe of Reuven, is like the father of the Jewish people. So Reuven has this side to him that, you know, we don't appreciate because he lost so much. He lost the firstbornhood, he lost the priesthood, he lost, you know, the aristocracy of being the king, the majesty, that, you know, all these gifts were taken away from him by Yaakov. And yet it doesn't really diminish who Reuven was. And Reuven is the month of Tammuz. Reuven, when he's born, his mother says, look, see. And so the power of the body that is associated with the month of Tammuz is seeing. The power that is associated with the month of Av is listening. And that belongs to Shimon. And when Shimon is born, his mother says, Kishama Hashem, because God has heard. And she calls him Shimon, which means listening. Reuven is see a son, and Shimon is listening. So each of them has a really powerful association with these two abilities, to see and to hear. Which is more important, seeing or hearing? And here the Hishbitzer says an unbelievable thing. He says, on the surface of things, seeing is the most important. Your ability to see is really, really crucial. But what's the difference between seeing and hearing? You see, I can dress up as somebody else so clearly that you won't be able to tell the difference. Or, okay, of course the person's going to have to be the same height as me and this and that, but I could go to a plastic surgeon or whatever, you know, like they do in Hollywood, you know, with these plastic masks that you can mold to the face and make somebody look like something. But as soon as I open my mouth, you'll know it's me and not that person, because you can't fake a voice. There's a tvius ayin on a call, the Gemara says. You can recognize a voice 100%. You know, when you listen to something, you're listening to the inside of the thing, which may not be the same as what it appears on the outside. And the Bisyak of the Ishbitzer says that you could take the whole of the Talmud, you could take all the arguments in Shas, all the machlokes, all the differences of opinion about halacha and how it should be and everything. You could take the whole Torah Shebaal Peh and you could boil it down to this difference, the distinction. The Chachamim are always arguing, which is more important? The way a thing looks on the outside, which is its appearance, which is all I have to really judge things by, or no, what I'm listening to, or what I'm hearing from the inside, and what I think is going on underneath. And these two are the crux of the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, because I can never really figure out, like, what is it that is being expected of me? To look at the thing as it appears, and just take everything as it appears, and you know, all ein ledain ele ma she'ein avroi, a judge can only judge by what he's seeing with his eyes, or no, tzaiseli, listen to me. The Bnei Yisachar, Reb David Dinover, Reb Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. So the Bnei Yisachar talks about every month, and he brings a Sefer Yetzira, and he discusses at great length how the month and the Sefer Yetzira, how it really applies to us in a, and he says Chassidish Torah on this in a sense. In the, he talks about after the death of Joshua, we're told in the book of Judges, and it was after the death of Joshua, and the Yidden, they asked God, Lemur, saying, who's going to lead us to go make war? Because when Joshua died, the whole of the land of Canaan had not yet been liberated and resettled by the Jewish people. There were still large pockets of the indigenous nations who were hanging on to their territory. So they asked God, who is going to lead us to make war? Vayoyma Hashem, and God said, Yehuda Yale, let Judah go up. Hine nosatis oretz b'yodai, because I've already given him the land into his hand. You don't have to worry about anything. Let Judah, the tribe of Judah, let them be the vanguard and just go make war and go inherit your land. Vayomi Yehuda l'Shimon. So Judah, the tribe of Judah, said to the tribe of Shimon, Ochiv, Alei iti b'goy roli. I want you to come up with me and help me inherit my inheritance, which fell to me in the lottery. V'nelchama b'knani, and we'll make war with the Canaanite. V'holachti, and I will go with you and make war to conquer the land that is fallen to you in your lot. And the tribe of Shimon joined the tribe of Yehuda. And they made war on the Canaan. And in fact, Shimon actually settled in the land of Yehuda, and there was no land of Shimon. It fell in the Goyrol, in the lottery. It was absorbed into the territory known as Judea. So the Bnei Yisachar asks, why did Yehuda, who gets told directly by God, just go and do it because you're going to succeed, right? Why does he need to go and ask Shimon to help him? Of all the tribes, Shimon was not the most powerful, and what did he need it for? If you've been told by God and you've got a guarantee that you're going to win, so what does this display? So the Bnei Yisachar says that the month of Nisan, everybody knows, the month of Nisan is the month of triumph. It belongs to the Shevet Yehuda. And the name of God that applies to that month is written Yudke Vovke, straight out. There are 12 ways that you can write these four letters, and the month of Nisan gets it straight. Every other month gets it wrong, right? The month of Tammuz actually gets it backwards. Hey Vav, Hey Yud. The month of Av gets it Hey Vav, Yud Hey. You know, when we talk about the name of God, the name with four letters, we call it the Shem Havai. So we actually pronounce this name when we're talking about it, the holy name, which is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, when we talk about it, as the name, we call it Shem Havaya, which is the way that it's written for the month of Av. Hevav Yudke. There's a connection between Yehuda and Shimon. When Ezra came to build the second temple, he left Persia and he came to Jerusalem. He left Persia in Nisan and he arrived in Jerusalem in Av. The month of Nisan and Av, in fact, the Torah says, and this is one of the things that we do at the Seder, right? At the Seder, we eat eggs. Why do we eat eggs? Because the night of the Seder night is always the same night as the night of Tisha B'Av. They fall on the same night. Yehuda says to Shimon, please come with me when I go up, and I will go with you when you go up. Because the month of Nisan is only triumphant in the sense of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and almost everything that happens good to us is connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, Pesach, and all the triumphs that come about through the liberation from that slavery and bondage. But the Geula HaAsida, the real salvation is the one that happens in Av, in the month of Av. And again, here we have the difference between what you can see and what you can hear. If you really listen and you don't go by what you can see on the outside, if you really listen, then you can hear what's going on the inside. And on the inside, the month of Av, that's the real geula. That's the real salvation and liberation. You have to really listen to it. It's not something you can see with your eyes. It's interesting that when Aaron died on the first of Av, so the Torah tells us, where is this? The Torah tells us, God says to Moshe, take Aaron and Elazar his son and go up onto Mount Har and undress Aaron all the priestly clothes and put them onto Elazar his son, and then he's going to die. And Moshe did so, and they all went up. The whole congregation watched Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar go up onto the Hor HaHar, the mountain of Har. And Moshe undresses Aaron the clothes and he puts them on Elazar, and Aaron dies there on the top of the mountain, and Moshe and Elazar come down from the mountain. Then the Torah tells us, Vayiru kolo edo ki gova Aaron, and all the edo, the congregation, could see that Aaron had died. Vayivkuz Aaron shloshim yoim, and they cried for him 30 days. Everybody, every Jew, just after the death of Aaron, was a disaster. We didn't think we could go on. So the Gemara says, Vayiru kolo edo, you could read it, they saw, but also Vayiru, they were seen, because when Aaron died, the Anane HaKove disappeared. The clouds of glory that had surrounded us for 40 years in the wilderness, they disappeared. So we became visible. We became visible and we felt exposed and naked. And in fact, the next verse tells us, Vayishma HaKnani Melech Harod Yoshev HaNeged Kiboy Yisrael Derech HaAsorim. The Canaanite king, who was really the Amalek, he hears that the Jews are coming through this gap there, and he makes war. Why doesn't it say Vayara Knani, and the Canaanite king saw? It says he heard. If the death of Aaron meant that the clouds of glory had disappeared, then it should say that he saw. But he doesn't, because it's the month of Av now. Aaron has died on the first of Av, and now it's about listening. And Amalek, you know, he's the dark side. He sees everything we see. He hears everything we hear. He heard. He could really understand what it meant that we were no longer surrounded by the clouds of glory, which was the presence of Aaron that was protecting us. He could really hear what that meant. The difference between seeing and hearing is everywhere in this month of Tammuz and Av, according to the Arizal, these are called Einin de Matronisa. These 2 months are called the Eyes of the Shekhinah. The Eyes of the Shekhinah. The month of these two disastrous months of Tammuz and Av are called Einin de Shekhinah, Einin de Matronisa. So there's something about when we talk about Einin de Matronisa, the ability of the Shekhinah to perceive. Our ability to see what's happening to us depends on our eyes and our ears. These sensory organs, these are associated with these months of Tammuz and Av. So, Reuven and Shimon. And when I was writing the Sefer Yetzirah, I was very careful, you know, not to try and get into the depth of who Shimon is, because Shimon is the highest of all the tribes, and therefore he has to go through the most difficult, you know, even though Yaakov curses Shimon and Levi's anger, look how quickly Levi took over the priesthood and he took over all the important functions that the Moshe and Aaron and Miriam themselves are grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Levi. So we never find in the Torah the evolution of Shimon the way we find Levi, and as I've described Reuven, you know, that he was, after all, he was the father tribe for all of us. We always looked up to the tribe of Reuven as the older. So what has happened with Shimon? The Rebbe says, wherever you look at King David when he talks about the Shir HaMalos, the Song of the Steps, the Targum of Yonason says, Mesukin de Tohoimu, the ascent from the abyss. That when David HaMelech, when King David is singing the Song of the Steps, he's not singing songs of the steps upwards to go to the temple, he's talking about being connected to the abyss, to be connected to the Tohom. In Hebrew it's called the Tohom, which is like the deepest depth of the universe. And that what King David was doing, he was connecting us with the Tohom. Because whenever King David was faced with something that is apparently irreparable, something irredeemable, something that seems to be beyond, so he would connect himself to the Tohom. He would connect himself to the deepest place of the universe where things are coming out of nothing. Because that's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where God can be mevara, make it transparent that King David himself is connected at the deepest level to the life force. And so King David says in Psalm 131, Shir HaMalos le David Hashem lo yigov al libi. So the English translation is something of my heart is not proud, O God, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Israel, put your hope in God both now and forever. So he says, Hashem lo yigov al libi. My heart wasn't proud, v'lo romu einai, my eyes were not haughty, v'lo elachti b'gdoilos v'niflos men, and I didn't go in things that were too big. Im lo shivisi, unless. See, the Hebrew translation is quite different than the English. He says, I didn't do all those terrible things unless, im lo shivisi, if not I kept God Shivisi Hashem Lenegdif, if not I was always aware V'doimamti Nafshi and Kigomul Aleimoy. What is Kigomul Aleimoy? It's a nursing infant on its mother. You know, a nursing infant on its mother has nothing but its mother. Its sustenance comes from its mother. Even if a baby looks away from its mother, its mind, it knows where everything is coming from. It knows what its life depends on. The baby knows, my mother's my life. My mother's my comfort. My mother's my food. My mother's my warmth. My mother's everything. So David HaMelech is saying, so that even when I am going out of my boundaries and I'm doing, you know, my eyes are haughty, my heart is on him, I'm doing things that don't belong to me, but I'm only doing it the way a baby looks away from its mother, which means, you know, the baby knows that this is an act, you know, this independence, this rebellion is an act. You know, where am I going to get my next mouthful of food from if not from my mother? So David HaMelech is saying, and this is something that he's telling us, and you know, that this is the Shir HaMal, this is the meaning of connecting to the Tehom, to connect to the abyss, because I'm saying, God, this is how you made me, that even when I'm doing things that seem to be disconnecting, I'm not really disconnecting. I'm no more am I disconnecting than a baby that turns its face away from its mother's breast. And so the Jewish people are always in this place of connection at the deepest level to their Father in heaven. And Habakkuk, in the second chapter of Habakkuk, this is all the Bais Yaakov making these connections. And the truth is that if you and I were to sit down and learn this paragraph in the Bais Yaakov, we could spend a month. I'm just going to try and run through it as fast as possible. So Habakkuk says, God's reply came to me, and he said, write this answer plainly on the tablets so that the runner can carry the message to others. And this is Chazoin Lamoyet. This is a vision for the future. Ki oit Chazoin Lamoyet v'yofech leketz, and it's going to be describes the end, and it'll be fulfilled. And you can wait patiently. It doesn't matter how long you wait. This is what's going to happen, because it's going to happen. And he says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous, the tzaddik be'emunosa yichya, and the righteous, the tzaddik, lives by his emuna. Hine upololo yeshora nafshaboy v'tzaddik be'emunosa yichya. So what does it mean? Hafulolo yeshora nafshay. That the nations, he says, the nations of the world, they can have so much good, they can have so much abundance poured out on them, but it's not enough. They never feel like it's theirs. And always there's a, you know, I need to hang on to it, because, you know, it could be taken away from me. So everything that the Gentile is taking from the world, he's grabbing. And he brings a very interesting Gemara. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara talks about, in ancient times when there were pagans and they were worshipping pagan idols, you weren't allowed to send something that could be used as a sacrifice to the idol within 3 days of the pagan festival, 3 days before the festival, because, you know, they might use what you'd send. Let's say you send a kid, a lamb or sheep or something like that, he could slaughter it to one of his gods or something like that, and then you had been involved. So there was a gezeira, you're not allowed to do that. So Rava, the Gemara says, he sends a present to Bar Sheshech on the day of the festival, and he says, I know that this Bar Sheshech doesn't worship idols. He's maybe a pagan, but he doesn't worship idols. And so then he goes and pays him a visit, and he finds, the Gemara says, he finds him sitting up to his neck in a bath of rose water, with all these naked prostitutes hanging about, dancing on him, serving him. So I guess Rava had some very interesting friends. So Rava is a little bit taken aback, but before he can like leave, Baal Sheshach says to him, hey, he says, do you Jews, do you have anything as good in the world to come as my bath full of rose water and all these naked prostitutes? So Rava says to him, nah, that's nothing. We've got much better stuff than that. So this Baal Sheshach says to him, yeah, really? Is there anything better than this? Sure. He says, Rava says to him, you have fear of Emes de Malchusa, you're afraid of the government. But when we get in the future, in the world to come, we get our reward, we're not going to be afraid of anybody. So Baal Sheshach says, that would be true if I were afraid of the government, but I'm not afraid of anybody. And while they're talking, the bailiff comes and calls him to court because the king is calling him. So obviously, he was pretty afraid because he got out of his bath, he jumped into his pants, and he goes running out. As he's running out, he says, may the eye burst that wishes evil on you, because, you know, I can see that the Yidden, that, you know, they're Emes. And as he was walking out the door, his own eye, the Gemara says, his own eye burst, meaning that he really hated the Yidden. Anyway, so Rava says, Amen. You know, to this curse on anybody who tries to harm the Jews, and Baal Sheshach himself comes to a sticky end. So when he comes back to the Beis HaMedrash, you know, the other Chachamim are telling him, well, you didn't have to tell him that. You could have given him a different answer. You didn't have to tell him that Emes de Malchus about the management and being afraid of God and this. You could have told him, you know what you could have told him? You could have brought this verse that says, king's daughters are for thine honor. So you know what? Like you're telling him, oh, you've only got prostitutes, we're actually going to have princesses serving us, you know. So then the other rabbi says, nah, you didn't need to tell him that. You could have told him, Ayin lo yiroso likim zulosecho, that when it comes to the world to come, no eye can even conceive of the pleasures of the world to come. So the Meir Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, says, what did Rava mean when he talked about, when he said, you know, you all these pleasures that you have, really you still fear the kingdom, still fear the king? He's saying, because the difference between the pleasure of a Jew and the pleasure of a non-Jew is that the pleasure of a non-Jew is, there's a fear inside it that maybe it's going to be taken away from me. So there's a fear of an act of God. The Malchus that he's really talking about is, you fear God. Every time you take a pleasure from this world, you're really snatching it and stealing it and hoping it, then the real owner is not going to come and take it back from you. But we're Jews, and our pleasure is really God's pleasure. What does it mean, oinek? What does it mean, tanuk? What does it mean to have pleasure? It really means when I'm eating on Shabbos and I'm taking pleasure in the food, really, what do I mean? I don't care if somebody takes away my plate of chulent. That's not going to diminish my pleasure, because my whole pleasure to begin with was not about me. It was about Shabbos. It was about God. And that's why he says, that's why the Gemara says that God says to the Jewish people, Shabbos is ben zugach. Your mate, your soul mate is Shabbos. What's the whole idea of Shabbos? You don't do anything on Shabbos. You can't do anything on Shabbos. You've got all these restrictions. How could it be a pleasure if it's a restriction? I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't make fire. And so what's the grosser pleasure? What's the big gedilla? Because, as he says, because the meaning of pleasure means something else. You can take everything away you want from me, and it's still going to be a pleasure. So therefore, that's what Rava is saying to Baal Sheshach. The pleasure that you've got, this bath full of rose water and all these naked women dancing around you, you know, inside you is a fear that this is your pleasure, it's going to be taken away. But the pleasure that I'm dealing with, or the pleasure that I'm thinking of, what we call Olam Haba, who could take it away, since it's not really my pleasure anyway? My pleasure is defined by my relationship, what it is that I'm trying to give God. If I'm sitting there eating cholent on Shabbos, I'm trying to be ma'anig the Shabbos. I'm taking pleasure in making Shabbos. So my pleasure is really the pleasure of Shabbos, which is to say that my pleasure is giving God pleasure. That you can't take away from me. And that's why he says the tziruf of this month of Tammuz we said that the name of God is the name of God backwards. Where do we find a verse that has these things? It's called Zenenu Shoveli. Ze Einenu Shoveli, that Haman says when Haman goes home and he describes all his great wealth, his huge wealth. He was one of the richest men in the world. And all these children that he has. And what does he add at the end of the sentence? It's worthless to me. Why? Because Mordechai at the gate, he doesn't bow down to me. Now, is there an example, the Ishbitzin says, of exactly what we're saying? That you can have all the pleasures in the world and they're snatched, they're stolen, they're not worth anything to you. Because, why? Because Mordechai doesn't bow down to me. That's Haman. That's where this name of God, the backwards name of God, that's what it means. And why? Because I'm not seeing things right. I'm not seeing things properly. Why? Because the letter Ches, which is this month, the Gemara Menachos, he brings the Gemara Menachos that says the Rebbe saw that when he looked in a really carefully written Sefer Torah, the letter of the Ches had like a hump, like a camel's back, right? In the middle of the Ches, there's like a chuppah leading up, a roof, a pitched roof. It's not flat, the top of the Ches, it goes up into a point. Why? Because God is Chai Elamim. Because God, who is the life of the worlds, the Gemara makes a connection between the letter Ches and the letter Chai. And the source of Chai, the Shoyresh, is God, who is Bamiroimen, God who is in the heights of heaven. So all life is connected through Chai, through the letter Ches, to God. So he says, if you take all these threads, and I've only just picked up one or two of 10 or 12, the month of Tammuz has this letter Ches, has the right hand, it has the crab, and it has Reuven, so it has the gift of seeing, and the crab is the one who doesn't follow his eyes. The crab is the one who doesn't follow his eyes, and the right hand is the hand that thinks that it has all the koyach. But David HaMelech is teaching us in the Shira Malos that if I live with my faith, Tzaduk Be'aminosa Yichya means you can take everything away from me and I still feel like I have it, because I know that I can have everything and still feel like I have nothing. Which is how he sees the difference. When Robert talks about the difference between Basheshech's Olam Hazeh, his world, this world, and our future world, it's really because Basheshech takes everything that he has as stolen that can be taken back from him. Whereas I know that nothing that I have can be taken from me, because it was never mine, it's always God's. So the lesson of the crab is that if I follow my eyes in a certain direction, I'm going to get the month of Tammuz as the Goyish month of Tammuz, the month in which everything bad happens. But if I understand that what my eyes are showing me is the outside of things, and that God is still the top of the letter Ches, that he's still the Chai Elomim, he's still the life, so then I understand that even the strength that I have in my right hand, it's still just what appears to be mine. And this is Reuven. And then I move into the month of Av, and I go to the next stage where I go even beyond seeing, and I reach this place where I understand that the insides of everything, and he says that the Ari used to be very makpid, you know, all year round. You know, the Ari was a very holy man. But when he came to these 3 weeks from Shavuos B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, that was the time of the year that he used to be most machmir. He was used most stringent. Because the Ishbitzer says, because he was afraid that if he acts the way he feels, which is to see that on the inside of everything, this is really, this period of the 3 weeks are really the time when we have access to God. This is not the time when we are being pushed away. This is actually the only time of the year where we can approach God any minute. It's like God is now, you know, if the king is in the palace, you need all kinds of invitations and protocol to see the king, if you can see the king. But when the king's out walking, you know, anybody could really walk up to him. So this is what this time of the 3 weeks is. So the Ari used to be very careful, to be very machmir on all the dinim, all the laws, so that nobody should say, ah, you don't really care about what's going on with the Jewish people and all the trials and tribulations. It's all, I'm all right, Joe. You're feeling fine, so you're not really empathizing with the troubles of the Jewish people, because there's the troubles you see with your eyes. But if you listen, if you really listen to what's going on, there's no troubles going on. The access to the divine is more available now than it is ever available, because it's the month of Shimon, and Shimon is connected in ways that even his father Yaakov and even Moshe Rabbeinu are not able to see, because Shimon represents that which is hidden inside Yehuda. When Yehuda says to Shimon, come on, you come up with me and you help me. Why? Because one day you'll be going up and I want to come with you. Because the month of Nisan will be nothing compared to what's going on in the month of Av. It'll be something that will say, oh yeah, let's not forget the great stuff that happened to us when we came out of Egypt. That's what Yehuda is saying to Shimon. I know this is what's going to happen. One day, your month, your gestalt, you the one that everybody has written off, you're the one who's going to lead us out of all this. And I want to be going with you, because you're really listening to what's going on the inside, and we're all stuck looking at the outside. We're not really learned. We haven't really learned how to listen. Shimon is the one who can teach us how to listen. And as soon as we learn to listen, then we have to be careful not to appear to other people as though we don't care about what's going on in the world. But the truth is, do we care? We can hear what's really going on. God bless you and me, that we should have our ears opened, and that they become the real sensory organs, and that we learn to listen beyond what we can see with our eyes, and then we can really have access to God and Haskes Shema, because that's the Shem Kodesh, the holy name that's associated with the month of Av, which is Hey Vav Yud Hey, comes out of the pasuk Haskes Shema Yisrael Hayoyim Pay attention and listen, Moshe Rabbeinu says. Pay attention and listen, Israel. Today you have become God's people. And that's the Hey Vav Yud Hey of that name, is Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayoim. That's Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that really this is the secret of the tribe of Shimon. And any time you want, in the month of Av, you can be right there in the Geula. Shkoyach.